Flourishing Families with Dr. Daughter Blatt, the Switched On Kids Chiropractor, and her passionate friends, sharing the secrets of inspiring wellness to help your families thrive.
Welcome to MMR today. I am really excited to hear about you and your lactation consultancy.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a wife and a mum of two, so I have two little ones who are out of the baby stages but still two very busy children. I used to work as a registered nurse and a midwife, child and family health nurse, and so currently I'm working in private practice as a IBCLC, which is an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant, which is a mouthful, which is probably why people just say LC or IBCLC, but it is important. It's to be certified as an international, you know, lactation consultant. So it's an international exam, internationally certified, with everyone around the world.
Yeah. Excellent. So you have a little bit of background in health, it sounds like. So tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you end up as a lactation consultant?
It's probably something that I didn't have on my radar when I first started. So I wanted to be a nurse because I wasn't someone who liked uni. And I thought, 3 years of uni, that's going to be easy. I'm a hands-on learner.
Yes.
And then I got in and I was like, oh, midwifery, that would be really cool. Yeah. And so I worked a little bit as a registered nurse in mental health and aged care nursing, surgical nursing. And then it took me a few attempts to get into the midwifery program.
Yes.
Through the Charles Sturt Uni. And then, which kind of, you know, when you get knocked back, it kind of makes you go, drives you. Oh, no, I really want that.
Yes, yes.
So I did that program and at Maitland Hospital here locally.
Mm-hmm.
Worked for a midwife and went to Moree for a couple of years. And I did other training for child and family health nurse because I had a position there within the Aboriginal population up there. We were supporting families.
Wonderful.
So in the community. So that was really fun. And then I thought, oh, lactation consultant, that would be like the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
And it was like a 10-year thing. And then I was pregnant with my second and it kind of just, not fell in my lap, but just the timing worked out. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to study, do it now while the kids won't remember.
Yes.
And I just made it happen. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So that is your focus. Now, it sounds a little bit like you've sort of done a bit of a journey, but you've ended up with the kids section and younger and younger.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I've gone from one end of life with aged care to the other end of life.
Yes.
So absolutely focusing in the families from that newborn period really into the toddler years, you know, because, I mean, we can breastfeed into 2 years and beyond. So I'm still supporting women who are breastfeeding toddlers. So predominantly that age.
Okay. Yeah. So tell us, what do you do as a lactation consultant?
Yeah. So I would support women in their feeding journeys. So that would be predominantly be breastfeeding, as in they're coming to me for support, whether that be for commonly nipple pain, which is really, really common, unfortunately, something we can work on. So we work on pain, whether it's attachment and positioning that we need to make changes to, whether it's we're looking at other things like babies just not being able to cope with the sucking and the swallowing pattern, other kind of things get kind of lots goes in with breastfeeding. You know, there's other kind of like reflux, and sometimes that can be affected by feeding as well.
Yes.
So I guess even introducing solids, you know, like and juggling that whole, oh, what do I do next? I've just done breastfeeding, but now what, you know?
Yes.
So I guess any kind of support for women that are just like, even if it's just like I'm feeling something strange, or maybe there's pain in my breast, or there's something reoccurring that they just know instinctively something's not right. So sometimes women just want to check in for something really kind of brief, and it might be just a one-off visit, and other time I might be seeing women for a couple of times and doing ongoing support, you know, through messaging.
So is your consultancy mainly face-to-face, or is this something that you can do online?
So it can be online. I prefer it face-to-face. I just think that connection is really nice, and I think we value just being together as a presence.
Yes.
And you can obviously the assessment, I feel, is a little bit more thorough. I mean, we can do it online, but face-to-face is my preference. I see people face-to-face in my clinic at the moment, and I will still offer home visits if people need them, so they just need to reach out individually and let me know. And phone consults, absolutely, and they're really helpful for when we're like, you know, 12, 15 months down the track and they want to chat about weaning and like, okay, what's the next step? So they may not need that face-to-face consult, but they just want that, you know, half an hour to just have a bit of a roadmap, you know, like a plan, like, okay, what's the next step?
So my understanding of the diet, you know, the connection between mum and baby, that there's such a strong emotional part in that whole figuring out how to breastfeed. Yeah. One thing is the, you know, positioning and the physical mouth and all the physical stuff. But the other thing that I find we maybe not talk so much about is that emotional stress potentially or the fear of I can't breastfeed or somebody says that, you know, my baby doesn't put on weight fast enough or whatever. Tell us a little bit about what your experience is with that side of the consult or the connection that you can help with.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure in there, isn't it? Like in society and community about that whole weight gain and whether I can breastfeed and whether that's pressure from family or just society, the way we've been brought up to.
Yes.
And it definitely does add to the stress and it definitely does add to that relationship. You know, it's a complexity. And when you have a baby, that baby still thinks it's part of you too. So there's still two, but you're one together.
Yes.
And breastfeeding and feeding babies, even when I'm supporting families in bottle feeding, it doesn't matter how you feed your baby, it's still hard work. You know, like it's still a baby who has needs to be met. And so I guess this is where we really need to look at it from that holistic approach and support parents and support them in a family and make sure there's that community around them. And by nourishing mum, then we can make sure that bub's nourished as well too.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means taking the pressure off feeding.
Right.
So if we're really, really stressed, and so our cortisol, our stress hormone, is through the roof. And then babies are really aware and they can smell that stuff out and they know about it. And then they're like, I don't know if I want to be here because, you know, this is a stressful environment.
Yes.
Because they, you know, they have these amazing smells, you know, that they can scent and their reflexes and everything is so primitive and there for survival.
Yes.
So when they can sense that stress, they're very quick at going, I don't know about that.
Yes.
You know, and so that's sometimes where we can see other things like breast refusal and things like that too, because they're just really smart.
Yes.
So then when we can support mum to go, okay, let's take a couple of steps back, let's take the pressure off and let's go back to enjoying time with your baby, because really, like, this is about relationship.
Yes.
You know, when we look at babies when they're born, they're proportional, but there's a big head with a big brain in there. And it's about brain development, about relationship. So it's not about, oh, quick, your baby has to crawl in 2 weeks to get away from the tiger. It's actually about connection, eye contact, relationship together. Yeah. So changing up how we can look at that can usually take that extra stress off.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not just about feeding my baby. You know, there's more to it.
Yeah. We often find, you know, when families bring in a colicky baby, you know how the colic, yes, can definitely be a symptom in the young baby, but it can also be the baby actually expressing the stress that's happening in the family. Because like you say, they are so perceptive. They really know what's going on in their environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And so they'll just mirror often what's happening. So then when we're stressed as mums or we're feeling super anxious as well, then that can kind of flip back onto that bub and then they mirror that back. And I find that even as a parent with children now, like if I'm really like wired and stressed, they're just going to throw that back at me and then I'm trying to give them advice and I'm like, hang on a minute, this is actually meant for me. Like,
I think just continuing on that whole, you know, taking the stress off mum and getting more relaxed and enjoying the relationship.
Yeah.
Do you provide like advice for the rest of the family, like they of friends? You know, what can you do to a mum? Not to a mum, but for a mum, maybe to provide her with a little bit of home support. So I'm talking dad, I'm talking, you know, grandparents, I'm talking next door neighbors. What would you advise the community to do to help this relationship work?
Well, I guess you could start with just having an honest conversation with mum, going, what would make you feel good? Do you know what would actually, you know when you can actually feel that weight off your shoulders when you know something's been taken care of?
Yes.
So would it feel good to have somebody come and take care of all that washing and fold it and make you some meals and hang out washing, or, you know, like all those little things which means you can just be, or sometimes mums want to do those jobs because that's what they've been doing for so long. Yes. And so they might still want someone to just hold a baby for half an hour because
yes.
it means that they can have a shower and do a job. Because, you know, there's so much identity
yes.
changing in this process of becoming mums as well.
Yes.
So it's going to change. But definitely I would say that, you know, I talk about just expecting in those first few weeks, you need to expect your body print to just be in bed or in the lounge. So
yes.
that's where you're going to be most of the time because your baby wants you, you know.
Yes.
And birth is a big event to go through, whether we're a vaginal birth or a cesarean birth. It's physically a lot and we need to rest our bodies and nourish. And by feeding frequently, it's nature's way of going, hang on, you need to slow down, mama.
Yeah.
You know, like you need to rest. This is your time to rest. And so we have to do a little surrendering of letting other stuff go.
That's great. That is so good that you're saying that, because how often do we hear that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got 3 months off for maternity leave. We're going to go traveling. I'm going to go do this. You know, so people have this perception that the baby's born
cram
for 10
everything.
Minutes. Yeah. And then, you know, I've got 4 hours before we don't have to do anything with baby again.
Yeah.
But that's our society and that whole performance
exactly.
push, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. And ticking boxes and looking like you're being productive. And, you know, like it's okay to sit and lay in the sun for 20 minutes and not do anything but stare in the sky, you know, like, or read a book. It's okay. That's actually good. That's actually good for your whole body as a central nervous system function, you know, like that's good for regulating your own
Absolutely.
Other stress, you know, without thinking, you know, and look, I have a sister who likes to have a clean house too. And I get that sometimes you just need to feel good. But then, okay, give yourself 15 minutes. Go, okay, let's just do a 15-minute power tidy and then I'm going to go do that, you know, or have a 20-minute nap.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to actually have a nap, set an alarm, and then get up and do the other jobs.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean you have to do one or the other.
No.
And so trying to meet the many needs of yourself is important.
But so what I hear you say, though, is still just honoring yourself first and taking the time to or giving yourself the opportunity to not do but just be with the baby.
Yes, it's not wasted time.
How does that work when you've got baby number two or number three or number four?
So life's busy, isn't it? And it all depends on the ages of other children. So I would definitely, I find that when we're having second, third babies, we actually feed, I would encourage mum to feed in positions where bub's kind of on one side of her body so that the other side of her body is completely open for cuddles and, you know, like support for other children and toddlers that are still wrestling with that. Hang on, she was my mum first, you know, like, and then you can still read a book with the other hand and play with them on the other side so that, you know, often if we're using that cradle hold, that baby is taking up that whole torso, you know, and it's like then the fight's on, well, who's mum, you know, then we can feed a baby by one side. It just means, okay, there is a spot here, you know, for the two-year-old who wants a cuddle.
Yes.
It's going to change with every family. I came from a family of five and I was the eldest. And so as a 10 and 12-year-old, when my brothers were born, I kind of stepped up to be the second mum. Do you know,
so
it really depends what age.
Personality and stuff.
Everything like that.
Now, you mentioned that parallel hold. So the baby being alongside your body rather than across. That's something that we, in our practice anyway, recommend a lot for refluxy babies or
Absolutely.
Maybe tongue tie babies. What's your experience with that?
Yeah, so I'm talking about more of a straddle hold. So the bub is kind of straddling a leg either side of your thigh and they're coming upright.
Yes.
And you can sit upright or you can recline a little bit too.
Yes.
I find that bubs really, if they're struggling in a cradle hold, it just means that they're kind of below the breast and sometimes that letdown reflex in the milk is so fast, they just start having such a hard time managing sucking and swallowing and breathing when breathing's number one, right?
Yes.
So when we change the position, it means that the milk transfers across and not below.
Yes.
So they're a bit more in control and they can still move their head around and have comfortable, you know, feeling safe and secure in their positioning, and we're just giving them that core support.
Yes.
And even just, you know, from a digestion point of view, I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'd want to lay down and eat.
No.
You know, like I know Romans used to do that a long time ago, but it's not a very natural position for digestion. So if bub's having, you know, unsettled tummy, then that's nice that they're in that upright position. It's the perfect position, you know, for pushing out wind out the other end while they're feeding.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
definitely see it as very supportive.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I I find it interesting how advice changes over time.
Mm.
My number two was quite a challenging little okay. thing, but I think he would have enjoyed that just to
yes.
be in control. He wanted yes. to feed a lot.
Yes.
Do you find that there are, growth is maybe the wrong word, but developments in the advice and the knowledge mm. that we have that you might have experienced over the last 10 years or however long you've been in the midwifery?
It changes, so the advice changes,
yeah.
absolutely. And I still think we're a bit stuck in the old, like we really are stuck 10 years ago, I feel. Like
yes.
within the health system, I definitely feel, yeah.
Yes.
There's still the standard like cradle hold and football hold and, you know, it's like,
yes.
okay, we can get creative. Like we have a breast with a nipple and there's 360 degrees around
yeah.
that. So
yeah.
why are we limiting ourselves to two positions, you
yes.
know, like let's get creative.
Yes.
And, you know, it should be about mums being comfortable. What's the point in sitting in a textbook position when your body's different, the person next to you, their body's different, their baby's different? Like, no body and baby are all the same. So textbook positions are not going to apply, right? Because there's all different angles. And,
yes.
you know, like, it's
yes.
all so individual. So let's utilize, let's be creative and make sure mum's comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So something I'm experiencing a lot now is that mum's coming a bit concerned about the dummy situation,
mm.
whether a dummy may interfere with the suck, swallow, breathe reflex and become a bit more nipple averse.
Yeah.
Do you have advice or opinions on that?
Yeah. I did see something pop up the other day that said that dummies are not meant to, you know, they're saying they're not interfering in breastfeeding. I guess I still stand by the avoiding it for that first 3 to 4 weeks at the beginning because I really want to establish breastfeeding.
Yes.
If a baby wants to suck, they need to be at the breast because they need to feed. You know,
yes.
that's their
yes.
primary need there. And so then if we're going to introduce dummies, I'm not opposed to that. I was a parent who was like, I'm never using a dummy. And my kid screamed in the car. I was like, you're having a dummy because I can't listen to the screaming. So I'm not opposed to them, but as long as they're not replacing the feeds, you know, like, is
yes.
it just for a short time to soothe? Because that sucking, is that soothing for that infant?
Yeah.
And then do we take it out? You know, we're not relying on it for 45 minutes because if they're on it for 45 minutes, actually they might just want to go back and feed some more,
yes.
you know,
yes.
like,
yes.
so
yes.
recognizing their cues and their behaviors too. And, you know, as mums, we are the best. We know our baby's the best, you know. We just don't back ourselves,
no.
you know. We're always comparing ourselves to everybody else, and so we doubt ourselves.
Yes. Yeah,
and so
we're hard on
we
ourselves.
Are,
yeah.
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 So dummies, I don't think are bad if you're going to give them a, you know, like I can't label them as bad, but I think they can be overused.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure that we're using something to support just normal palatal development as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, choosing the right shape and size of dummies.
Which is obviously very different baby to baby.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 yeah. yeah. So, that's great. Well, and what about, again, this whole idea of, okay, my baby's 6 months old,
mm.
shouldn't feed at night anymore because there should
mm.
be in another bed.
Mm.
Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah.
I mean, we always say, I mean, seriously, a baby's going to feed for the night
for a long
time.
Yeah,
don't,
yeah.
Don't go that 6 months mark.
No, not 6 months. And what I find is that developmentally, so around 4 or 5 months, they tend to get really distracted in the world. And so
yes.
they want to breastfeed, yet they're looking, you know,
yes.
180 degrees in the other direction.
Yeah.
And so I find in that situation, between that 4 to 6 months, where they're taking in so much of the world, you know, from that that sensory input from everything, they may not actually feed a lot during the day, which means they're going to feed heaps at night, you know,
yes.
to make up for that too. So while their patterns are changing, I really don't expect babies to be going all night, you know, like you could go to 10 months easily, you know, like
yeah.
and some toddlers are still breastfeeding lots during the night. So it's not just the nutritional need either. You know, there's so many of that immune properties that they're getting,
yeah.
the soothing. Remember that breastfeeding is not just about food, right?
No,
like it's
no.
a connection. It's that safety.
Yeah.
It's that oxytocin. It's that
yeah.
I feel safe, mum.
Yeah.
I'm relaxed now. You know,
yes.
like
yeah.
I can go back to sleep. And so you'll actually find a lot of mums like, oh, I don't mind breastfeeding at night because it's such an easy way to soothe them. They feed
yes.
and go back to sleep, you know,
yeah.
when we shouldn't have to pace the floors for 2 hours.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, which is great though, because I mean, with you being an expert in the breastfeeding situation, I think it's important that we take that information on. And again, it's coming back to actually acknowledging the relationship
yes.
that we have with our baby and every baby is different,
yes.
but not necessarily to go by that textbook that says, oh, okay, by 6 months, they're
no.
sleeping through.
No, not at all.
Because,
yeah,
textbooks are great. But
6 months, predominantly, it's still breast milk. You know,
yeah.
like, and so solids is fun and we want to give them as much nutrition as possible, but by 6 months, it's still predominantly their main source of nutrition.
Yes.
Is breast milk or formula, whichever. You know, like, we don't just, they're not just going to bulk up. You know, start eating straight away. Doesn't work like that, yeah.
And thank goodness.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And just to lighten the mood a little bit, can you share a story maybe from your own experience of some fun or maybe just like a story that our listeners could benefit from maybe using in their life?
Yeah, I was trying to think about this and I was really racking my brain. It would be more stories about, you know, I remember feeding my son for the first time, so he was my first. And he was only, maybe about a week old, something really young. We had to come. We were living in Moree, so it was a road trip, and I was feeding in public for the first time. And I just remember always having to carry these little face washers everywhere. Yeah. You know, so I would tuck the face washer, like I'd roll down my bra and put the face washer underneath.
Yes.
Because then when my letdown reflex, I'd be like, quick, bring the face washer up. You know, otherwise you'd be spraying milk everywhere. You know, it's like, yeah. And I just remember those little moments of just that. It's such a new experience, you know, like you look back now and you're like, oh, wow, that was like so long ago too.
Yes.
And just when they become playful with that too, and they'll literally pop off at like 7 months and you let down reflex and they're just like, oh, what is this? Like a fire hydrant of milk. And they just lay there just looking at it. It's just, I think it's fun when they're growing, you know, like, yes. And yeah, it's just different.
Yeah.
It's really different. I don't know. It's not just like, oh, we're just feeding the baby. You know, like these koala babies that just feed and sleep. It's actually a little individual.
Yes, yeah. And that whole recognition, like you say, of, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
And also at that point, 7 months in, I mean, you're a little bit more like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Except for that you don't want to waste those, you know, important drops.
No, they're precious. I couldn't think of, I think more the toddler years, you know, of all the other crazy stuff that happens.
Well, that could be a whole other podcast.
That could be. Yeah, I think I should write a book, actually. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
So, Emma, tell us, where can people find you, you know, if they think that you could be an asset to their life?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I have got a website. So that's just www.empoweredlactationwithemma.com.au. So all just one word.
Right.
All the information's on my website, but you'll find me on Instagram as well and on Facebook. And you can email me as well. So there's lots of ways to contact me as well.
Right.
I won't give my mobile out to everyone because it's really hard to keep up with that. So I prefer going through the online inquiry or an email because then I can trace everything as we go.
Yep.
And so I work out of the clinic up at Patterson at the moment, which is just north of Maitland by about 20 minutes. But I am still providing home visits. If people would like them, I'm still happy to give them, but predominantly within the clinic situation. Yeah. Awesome. Just means I can see more people because I'm not traveling on the road. Yeah. And, you know, like, it's not a wait list as much. So
Which is fantastic. You provide such a great service, and we have so many mums in the practice that just love what you do. So
when you need help, you need help. You know, you don't want to have to wait three weeks. So.
And we experience that.
Yeah.
In Newcastle, don't we?
Yeah.
So thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate your knowledge and sharing with our people. That was great to have a chat
to you. Thank you so much for being here. It was really fun. Thank you.
The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of Family Chiropractic or the host. Brought to you by Family Chiropractic Centre, Charlestown, serving the families in Newcastle, Lake Macquarie and Charlestown.